Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 477 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. This is Ed, and on this week's show, well, it's time for a trip report. I know we like to hear trip reports from people and what they've done and how they did it, and tonight is going to be a fun one. To help me do this, I have Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy, how's it going?
What is happening?
Not much, not much. And more importantly, we have Melissa. It's her trip report. Hey, Melissa, how's it going?
I'm doing great. I'm ready to relive my February trip to Walt Disney World with 9 people.
Wow. Can you break down that 9 people selection there?
Yes. So we had ages 4, 16, 3 mid-20-year-olds, 2 upper-30-year-olds, and 2 lower-50-year-olds.
Oh, wow. You did cover all the bases there.
Yep.
So you basically are traveling from the north part of the country. How does your family normally travel? I guess it's got to be plane.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. We have driven when we were younger kids. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but now we just fly. It's much more comfortable.
That's cool.
I wish you would have let me know those age demographics beforehand. I could have sent my parents with you guys and you could have had a couple of 70-year-olds too.
Oh, that would have been even better.
So you could have all covered.
Everybody's got their different staminas. You never know it. Some of the 70-year-olds could definitely outwalk me. So you never know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You would probably be surprised who was the Energizer Bunny and who wasn't.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, let's see if we can find out as we hear the days go by. How long was your trip for?
It was a whirlwind trip. We flew down Wednesday morning, bright early before the sun was even up. And then we came back Sunday afternoon.
Okay. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 3 full days, and then
3 full days, 2 travel days, and we had part of Wednesday to enjoy Orlando.
Oh, okay. Well, very cool. Well, when you say enjoy Orlando, what do you mean? Let's go right to there.
Yeah, so we flew in, and as many of the listeners know, we used to live in Orlando, so we used that day as get our rental car, and we went downtown to where we used to live. And hit up a couple of restaurants that we enjoy. Gideon's Bakehouse, which many listeners know is at Disney Springs, but their flagship location is actually downtown. So we went and pre-ordered our cookies the night before and got there and picked them up. And then went to an Italian deli, went to a Publix to get some snacks and groceries for the week, and then drove to our resort.
Nice. Did you pass by your house, your old
we
house?
We did. Yep, we drove past it, yeah.
Any major changes?
Not really, no.
Mm-hmm. Good. That's reassuring. You hate to go back to the old place and see, like, major reconstruction and stuff like that.
Yeah, my kiddo was really excited. He wanted to see it because it doesn't have a lot of memories of it. And I want to see my house. What did it look like? And so it's fun to drive through the neighborhood and see what it's looked like. We haven't been back in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Melissa, where did you guys stay this time?
Yeah, we actually stayed at the Swan and Dolphin. I've never stayed there before and really enjoyed it. I didn't know what to expect. I knew that I've always wanted to stay at a resort, in that boardwalk beach club area so we could walk to Epcot. We like to spend time in Epcot. And it was super convenient. Just be able to wake up in the morning, walk over to Epcot, come back. You know, maybe we ended up having a dinner. And then we went back to Epcot later that night and walked home.
So now I'm not really familiar with the boardwalk area and the Epcot hotels. So when you say I know where the Swan and Dolphin are pretty much. When you say you walked, how did you get there? Like, can you give me kind of a what you meant?
The lake that as you exit from Epcot at the International Gateway and you've got Beach Club Yacht on your right and you have boardwalk on your left, mm-hmm. that sort of comes to a circle, and at the very other end is Swan and Dolphin. So you just follow one of those paths. You could go to the left or the right, and you'll eventually, you know, meet
there's Swan a and bridge. Dolphin. So
was there always a path to the right? Getting over there?
Yes. Okay. Well, it's not really to the right, I guess. If you're leaving Epcot, I would say it's more straight, would bring you to Beach Club, Yacht Club, and you kind of veer to the left over the bridge to get to Boardwalk. But in the yeah. other end, past all that, there's another bridge that you pass under if you're heading to Hollywood Studios in the boat that takes you over to Swan and Dolphin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So if you remember where the Boardwalk light up sign is, it says Boardwalk and it has the big kind of Hollywood round lights all through it. You sure. walk through that
and over the bridge
and right? over the bridge, and that's yeah. Swan and Dolphin.
Oh, okay. Very cool. I have to pay attention next time I get over that way.
I mean, it's just a little bit further. It's just on the far end of Boardwalk. Like if you pass mm-hmm. Jelly Rolls, mm-hmm. you know, which is on the far end of Boardwalk from Epcot. Once you pass Jelly Rolls, you just keep going and it kind of brings you right around to Swan and Dolphin.
And you're kind of tickling a little memory there. That time we went to Jelly Rolls, I think that's how I ended up getting my Uber, was I went out there and got the Uber over at Swan and Dolphin. So we went through this like courtyard area. It seemed like it was lit up. I think that's where they have their Swan and Dolphin food and wine.
Yep,
Which is like food a special and wine event.
Mm-hmm. Yep. The tickets just went on sale last week, I think.
There you go.
And it's going to be the same weekend as the Nerds Meetup in November.
Oh, wow.
It's just one weekend, right?
Correct. Yeah.
It's Wine and Dine weekend. It's the Wine and Dine race weekend. So it's the weekend before.
And actually,
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's the weekend after. Is it the same weekend as our meetups or is it the weekend before?
Same weekend as our meetup because I considered, do we want to get tickets for it? But a lot of the events will overlap in time.
I've heard great things about it. My friends Ian and Michelle are, you know, they're really foodies and winies, and so they like that. To me, the cost, you really got to be a foodie and a wine liker to do it, because what is it, like $200 a person?
The price has gone up over the years. We've gone three times, but it's more than just food and wine or beer.
Well, there's also concerts.
There's entertainment. There, you get to meet some chefs as well. There's just mm-hmm. really nice ambiance and places to sit and socialize. So you're paying for the experience
sure.
as well.
Sure, 100%. You've gone three times as residents of Orlando, correct? Mm-hmm. Or did you go on your trips like from up here or up where you're from?
We were living there all three times.
Right, yeah. It makes it more of a experience to do that and to spend the money on that as opposed to going on your vacation
and taking time spending away it on from your, Disney sure, sure. that you, sure,
and yeah. the extra cash to do something like that, especially when food and wine is actually going on at the same time.
Right. We always had guests come down stay with it. And they do packages at Swan and Dolphin. So it's the weekend. And then you get kind of your tickets to the events. You could do both. Oh, nice. They have all sorts of like classes and stuff. So. Right. What Disney's not really offered the past couple of years with some of those mixology or whatever, they offer a lot of that.
And I think at what you were talking about, you do get to meet the chefs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where Disney, it's food and wine, but you're not really like Dave's actually like celebrity. Well, sure. At Swan and Dolphin, there's actually like celebrity chefs and stuff. That doesn't do anything for me. And I typically don't eat while I'm drinking. So to pay $400 for me and Kim to go to that is like just, it wouldn't make sense for me. But I totally understand it. And if I lived there, maybe I would do it. But again, to take time away from Disney to go do that is a tough sell for me.
And you kind of brought up a point, too. We always talk about the last year, about all the things that are coming back. So now one of the things I hope is coming back is going to be some more of that chef interactions or the activities and some of the places you can go and learn something. Kind of makes Epcot more of like the experience.
So yeah, for sure.
You're really just hoping for mixology.
Yeah,
the mixology classes were great. We've did some beer and pizza classes. We've done wine and cheese. I've done cooking ones with the food and wine. So I take all of them.
Pairing cheese with wine would be incredible because I've known nothing about it. So that would be fun.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it was a good time. And this was in 2019 when we went down for the meetups. Ed and I and a whole group of us did the backstage tour at Epcot and World Showcase. And we got to go into the big, like, industrial kitchen where they prepare everything.
Oh, it was crazy.
That was, and we got to go in the big cooler that had kegs of beer. And that's where they make, like, the beer cheese, because they
big tent set up for all this.
It's bananas how cool it is to go back there. And then we did get to talk to the chefs and stuff like that. And they did, you know, told us what they were doing. And it was cool. That was very interesting.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll have to look into that again this year.
How do you cook for, you know, 50,000 people?
How many? Sure. And it was a hell of a process. And it was just lines and lines of ovens, like full-size ovens.
Not what you, it's not what and, you think. It's so different than, you know, that setup is so different than what you would see at a restaurant. It, you know, it's a big industrial kitchen. So it's it's crazy.
And then they got to get it to where it has to be. That's as interesting as cooking it.
Yes.
Okay, before we get away from the hotels, what'd you think of the rooms? It was the first time there. Well, first of all, how far away were you from the main downstairs, the main lobby? Like, was it a real trip? Because with nine people, and how many rooms did you get?
I felt we had three rooms. I felt like we were in a little bit of a maze. I never quite figured out how we made it from our room to, like, the pool, or from our room to a lobby. There was this one part of the elevator that apparently we only went down one floor, but we were on the fourth floor, but the lobby was not on the third floor. It was very, it was a time warp. I still don't understand it. Gotcha. So that
reason
was
to go back.
Yeah. It was a little confusing getting around. And there was some construction. I think they're doing some remodeling, which it's in need of a little bit. It's getting used, if that makes sense. Right. So you have still carpet in the rooms. They haven't gone to, a lot of hotels are going to more the vinyl or wood flooring. And, you know, some of the fixtures have a little bit of wear, but overall, you know, still nice. The convenience of the location, the amenities of the pool and the game room, the laundry, the lobbies and the food. Fantastic. I would definitely go back to stay there. And if you're a Marriott member, you're getting points, or you could stay there on points.
I didn't even think of that. You're right.
Yeah. And they have, you know, some, we had access to the late night as a deluxe resort. So you're considered a Disney deluxe resort.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Disney didn't offer any late nights during the times that we were there. I think they're like twice a week that time of the year in the winter. But they were available. They do have transportation to the parks, although the Magic Kingdom transportation is you go to the TTC. And I did not know that. So that was a little surprise that morning.
Oh, sure. It's like, you're stopping. Why are you stopping?
Yeah.
I'm like, you get one extra attraction that day.
Yeah, exactly. We got to experience the monorail. And I didn't know that.
Especially with nine people.
When we went home at that night, everyone was like, oh my gosh, where are we going? What do you mean we're going to a different resort? Are we going to get in trouble? I'm like, no, we're going to Beach Yacht or Boardwalk. I don't care what bus gets there. Whatever one, just run to that bus. Are you sure? Are you sure? Yes, just get on the bus and then just follow the boardwalk and you'll get to the resort.
Sure. Unless it's raining, it's a fun, like, little, like, kind of cool down type walk to do a walk like that in the evening. Yeah, that's not
bad. It was always fun to walk. And the one of the TTC, or it wasn't a TTC because we were still on the Magic Kingdom side, but one of the cast members said, if you can grab the bus to Boardwalk, because they do a lot of the night activities, the, you know, acrobats are there or something. So it's a little more adventurous of a walk than quiet and subdued on the beach yacht side. So that was fun. We took his advice and stood in the line for the boardwalk bus and then got to see that walking back.
Well, yeah. And also, I mean, like, you also have things like Abracadabra and stuff on the boardwalk that if you wanted to just stop on your way and grab a drink at the Abracadabra as a nightcap before you walked over to your resort, where Beach Club and Yacht Club have bars, but you really got to go into that resort to go to one of those where, you know, on the boardwalk, you can sit outside and have a drink before you head back.
And you got to remember, the parks in the wintertime are closing at 9 o'clock, 8:30. depending on which park you're in anyway. So it's still early evening. It's really something to do. So that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And I was thinking too, you have to kind of keep that in the back of your mind when you go to the parks. Like you stay at the All-Star Resorts, figure out which two are next to each other, and then you can grab either bus in that regard. Same with Pop Century and Art of Animation. If you're not in a park with the Skyway, you can grab either bus. It's not that far of a walk. We did the Art of Animation once, and it's actually a straight walk through from the lobby straight past the Skyliner to the Pop.
We had done that. We were staying at Pop and did that intentionally to go to Art of Animation, but not because it was the first bus, but because we had never been to Art of Animation at the time. So we just wanted to go walk around and check out the lobby and the store and the food court and all the things that it had to offer over there, and enjoyed the walk through.
Definitely. And then real quick, Jimmy brought up a great point. Before we leave the Swan and hit the parks, did you guys have any meals there at any of the restaurants?
Yeah. On Saturday night, we went and had dinner at, I'm looking at my itinerary made for the family.
Oh, great. That's awesome. You have one.
Yeah. We ate at Bluzo.
I think I remember you telling me you were doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we really enjoyed it.
What kind of restaurant was that?
Whose restaurant is that? It's like
Todd English.
Todd English.
And I've met him a couple of times at the, Food and Wine Classic event. He's usually out there, you know, talking to people and stuff.
It makes sense since he has a restaurant there. So that's cool that he, that's cool that he's out there and supports them. Yeah.
Yeah. They specialize, in fresh fish, steaks as well. My sister and her fiance got the biggest steak I have ever seen in my life. I think it was like a 58-ounce.
Wow.
I mean, this thing was the size of a small cat. And then it came with potatoes and like all this stuff. And so they split it. And, you know, it was the special of the night or something. And it was very good. We all had a little bite and we had some sides and things like that. I ended up having, I think I had the mahi-mahi with the risotto and fresh vegetables. And everyone's food was very good.
Nice.
Were they able to finish that steak?
They did. They polished everything off.
Mm-hmm. Hell,
they had the meat sweats, I think, after.
Yeah,
we walked it off and went to Abracadabra.
And
the next day, if it was any type of worm, the next day is going to be held too.
Oh.
Now, did the Swan Dolphin rooms, because it's not a Disney hotel, quote unquote, did they have a microwave or refrigerator or anything like that? Like if you had to take leftovers back?
Yes, we did. Sorry, I had to think about it. We had a mini fridge because we had some items for breakfast in our room that we bought at Publix. And we had a coffee maker. We did not have a microwave.
Okay, just checking.
I mean, you got to remember that, you know, Swan and Dolphin are by and large convention hotels. So that's kind of what they really cater. And I'm not saying that's bad for anybody else, but that's what they really cater to is the,
and they're only there a couple of days. So, and they're being fed.
Yeah. So those amenities in the room though are, but they do, that's why those really nice restaurants and the night in Kimonos, which is the karaoke bar sushi place is there, which is a fantastic place to go hang out. We went there with Sam and it was a blast.
Sounds like fun. Any type of karaoke is going to be fun. Okay. Well, very cool. So now let's get to the parks. Thursday was your first park day. What was the philosophy? So you've got 9 people of varying ages. Is everybody up in the early AM anyway? Did you have a plan or is it just get up and decide what to do?
Oh, no. We had a very detailed plan. We got up and we had to be ready to go by 7:30 in the morning. Everyone was supposed to already eat breakfast, have their coffee, whatever they needed to do. Yep. And we needed to return the rental car. So 2 of the people, my husband and my dad, went and returned the rental cars. That way my husband could help navigate them back to where we were, just easier that they kind of knew where they were. And then I would take the main group and get to rope drop because we had early park access being resort guests. Mm-hmm. And we rope dropped. We should have gotten there a little earlier. It took a little longer to walk than I was expecting, not because of the distance, just because we had different paced people.
Yeah.
Sure. And security.
Are you heading to Epcot? I'm taking it.
Yes.
Since you're walking. Epcot.
Yep. Cool. And we did Remy's and everyone loved it. We were able to basically, once the park opened, I think they were even letting people on before the park officially opened, which was great. The line moved. We got to experience it, had a great time. And by the time we were done, those two were back from returning the car and said, hey, we'll go and do it. So they all got back in the line and went and did Remy's again.
Yep. And that's a fun thing for a kid to do a ride twice in a row. That's a good ride. You remember those things.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
Did you guys think about Guardians at all? Did you try for virtual?
Oh, yes. I was up ready at 6:50 doing Sam's trick of, I already had my boarding groups ready. We bought Genie Plus. We were getting the, I tried for a virtual queue and was unsuccessful. It said it came back and there weren't any left of right at 7. And so then I just went and bought the individual lightning lane for the Guardians, which we had at like about 11. And that was the one little, you know, you have a big group. That was maybe the one tiff of the group was not realizing, hey, this is a far walk and we have to be there at a certain time. Sure. So we ended up having to split the group up a little bit in the fast walkers and they went first so they could get on. And then we had another group go on and then we were done so we could take my son. And then the last group went on. And by that time, then we were trying to get to our next Genie Plus, which was Soarin', and try to hike over there and get everybody to meet up. And we again had to split up a little bit. So the morning was a little anxiety ridden because I was trying to get everyone where they needed to be. And I'm talking on the phone like, hey, look at for this direction or this building and get there, whatever, just because of how the timing all worked out. But everyone got to ride, both of them. They were amazing. It was the first time any of us had been on Guardians. And yeah, they had a lot of fun.
Who did you guys rent the car through?
Enterprise. So we were able to return it right on property.
Right at the car care center. If you rent, and just for people watching, and by all means, price is number one, but there is a dollar, and I think it's, no, Alamo and National has a desk at the Dolphin.
Oh, cool. I didn't know that.
So you can return it right at the Dolphin. So we did that actually, not that, I think it was January 20. We did that. We rented a van. We were there with Ian and Michelle. We stayed off property and we returned it to the Dolphin. And I would also say, just from my experience staying at the Swan and Dolphin, I don't remember which one we stayed in. It is a little bit confusing. Melissa's right. And we ended up, we had one book and the room wasn't ready. So they put it, they switched us to the other one. But for doing that, they comped our resort fees and our parking fee. So it was fine. But I would say that if you're walking out to go to Epcot and the boat is sitting there, I think you're faster getting on the boat, even with the stops to get to Epcot, than you are walking.
Yeah, it's very convenient. The boat is right in between the two. So if you think of there are two resorts with like an isthmus or a bridgeway in between the two, and then that's where the boat takes you to Epcot. And the funny thing about that little isthmus bridgeway is they have to have either somebody watching in a camera or like sensors, because without fail, every single time we came up at night and we stepped foot onto that bridgeway, the lights would come on and they would play some sort of like Imperial March from Star Wars, or they would play Coco if my son was with us, or it was just, it would start and the light show would go and you would like, it was really creepy especially when it was the Imperial March from Star Wars, but that was just a fun kind of thing. It was like, how do they know that we're here?
I mean, that's like the coolest little Disney touch though. Like that's the stuff that only happens there and sets high expectations. The next time you're around home and you walk over a bridge, you're going to be looking.
Because when you're approaching it's just white lights up lighting the trees, the palm trees. And you're like, yeah, cool. And they have some music playing. And then you step foot and it's like, dun, 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 dun. And you're like, the lights are going with red and stuff. You're like, what's happening?
I got to think it's sensors. Very fun. Before we get away from it, you went on Guardians for the first time.
It was amazing.
keep going. What do you think? What else?
Yeah.
What
so
song did you have?
What song did you get?
I don't know. We're all trying to remember because funny. We had three groups get on the first time, and we had one group in the front, we had one group in the middle, and one group at the back. And we did the individual lightning lane line, so the fast pass line. And then at night, we were able to get three of us into the virtual queue and come back. And we went through the regular line to see everything. And we got the back again. And so that was really neat to be able to have different people's perspective of the different parts of the ride and the different lines. But we cannot remember for the life of us what our songs were.
So you know the options?
We were going to look it up, but I haven't done it yet.
So your options, and Ed can probably help me with this because it's hard to remember all six, but it's Conga, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, September, Iran. God, I'm going to have to look it up now.
See, I had September hoping you were going to forget that one. I
can't my favorite anymore. September and Iran. And then there is, I'm going to have to look it up now.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah, we got off the ride. And multiple people in our group said, this is what the Imagineers wanted Space Mountain to be back in when it was open, but they didn't have the technology to do yet. And now they've made it. It was just so much fun. We were looking all over the place, laughing, yelling, screaming, you know.
Nice.
It was a lot of fun.
And everybody liked it?
Everybody loved it. Yep.
Beautiful.
So I missed Disco Inferno and One Way or Another.
Yeah,
they're all great songs.
You can't go wrong with any of them.
No. And actually, there were so many of them that they could have used that there's a whole list out there too of the 100 or whatever.
So
they're
when
all
you,
good.
So when you get off the attraction and you're walking out, the songs that play in a loop are the songs that were considered but not chosen.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so Epcot on a Thursday in February. What kind of crowds?
It wasn't bad. We had no problems with our Genie Plus. A couple of the rides we didn't even use Genie Plus on. The kiosks for the Festival of the Arts were, I don't think we waited in line more than five people ahead of us, not even. You know, like we always went up, ordered our food, waited a minute or two and got it. We weren't ever shoulder to shoulder, and we were there from park opening, and then we had to go back for a dinner for the convention we were there for, and we were gone from probably 4 o'clock until 8 o'clock, and then we went back, and even at night it was comfortable.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. What kind of weather did you have?
That day was beautiful. Really all the days we had very comfortable weather, not too hot, not too humid, sunny, no rain. Saturday was cooler. We had like capris and a sweatshirt on, you know, but it was 70s maybe.
Nice. Comfortable. Did you stop at any restaurants at Epcot?
We did not eat at any restaurants just because we had the kiosk to try out. And so we're such a big group. Everyone would get something and we'd share bites and stuff.
Any favorites? Anything really stand out this year? Something different you haven't had or something you've always loved and was still there and still good?
I feel like we did not have anything repeated from a prior year. I think we tried all new things. There was a couple things I wasn't a huge fan of that was not normal for me. We had the Gnocchi poutine in Canada. That was not the greatest. The meat on top was great. The texture of fried gnocchi was a little odd. Everyone really enjoyed it. Was like a pot roast or something from Germany. That was a big hit. I had the vegan option in France, which was, the ingredient list was huge. It was probably 10 different things. I didn't even know how to say it. I wasn't sure what I was going to get, but it was fantastic. Very surprised.
That's usually
that.
Most of the things on the French menu.
Yeah, this was,
but it's great.
It was so pretty. It was like layered and it was green and pink and it had beets in it. And the, I don't know. It was really good.
Nice. Ratatouille.
Kind of right. Looked like maybe like a vegan version of that. I can't think of anything else that really stood out that we ate that. There was just a lot. I just feel like everyone had plates of food. We made a really big mess at one point in France, and I felt bad for the everyone spilled something. We spilled a drink. We spilled the fondue cheese, and I spilled half of my vegan food, and it was just piles of food on the floor. And
no.
Sounds like you started a new tradition for each time you go back to Epcot.
Right, exactly. It's like, this is what happens. You're trying to have all these people eating plates, and you're like grabbing at it, you know?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you had a fun day. And when you came back, did you get to see Harmonious?
We did not, because that was when we were going to get into our virtual queue for Guardians the second time. We caught the tail end of it. And not even the tail end, probably the last third of it. And that was, you know, neat to see. I had never seen Harmonious, actually.
Okay. Did you get back to Epcot at all during this trip?
No. We did not have a park hopper.
Oh, okay. Okay. It sounds like a fun night. What was the next day? What happened on Friday?
Friday, we were up very early for Magic Kingdom. We were met by 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. I had done our, you know, Genie Plus, and we decided not to do an individual lightning lane for Seven Dwarfs. We thought we're going to rope drop. We're going to get there and we're going to get over there. That was our plan.
Right.
Little wrench in the morning that we all of a sudden ended up at TTC on a very comfortable prior Mears Disney bus. So we took the monorail. We were in line. We were positioned very well. Get in and we just keep getting marched further and further back. Like, we were all the way to Little Mermaid. And I'm like, what is... There was not this many people ahead of us when we were rope dropping, right? Like, we were kind of right across from Cinderella's Wishing Well. You know how you line up on the one side, but like that's kind of where we were positioned. Yep. And I was like, I've been here before and we've not been this far. So Seven Dwarfs didn't open until probably 11 o'clock that morning.
Oh, wow.
So then it was deciding, do we stand here and wait for the full half hour? Or do we get out and try to get something else? You know, because once you kind of are in rope drop mode, people pick their spaces that they go. And then you have all the people that are not resort guests lined up, ready to get in too. I made a game time decision. I regret my game time decision. We stayed thinking maybe Seven Dwarfs would open. We were in a good spot.
Right.
We really wanted to ride this ride. My son was super excited to ride his first roller coaster.
Sure. That's
and the one. Yeah, it just, we waited probably 45 minutes and it just didn't open. And so now we are at 9:15 when the park opened and everybody's in there. So we then sort of had to, I just was like, I don't know, we have to get on something. And we went to Little Mermaid, which was a bad decision because that doesn't have a long line. And
at that point, time. You got to get somebody, you got to get them on a ride. So I totally understand that. And you've already had two big, big wrenches. You were talking. You ended up at the TTC without realizing that ahead of time. That must have been horrendous at that point. And then, Seven Dwarfs was closed. That is, to me, one of the worst things that can happen is your rope drop ride is closed because you just wasted that whole rope drop. Not to be too pessimistic and down on it, but you can't be. You got to basically, what you did is just kind of readjust, make your change, and then move on. Get on Little Mermaid. That was fun. Now it's like try to evaluate and see where to go next.
Yep, exactly. So that was a little bit the story of the rest of the day. We're now getting into President's Day weekend because that would have been the next Monday. And it was busy at Magic Kingdom. They were having a hard time keeping rides online. And you already had Splash Mountain, which was turned off. So that's off, not available for capacity. You've got Seven Dwarfs, which is down, and that put a lot of strain on some of the other rides. And so they were crashing, coming back online, crashing, which then moves Disney or Genie Plus people around. So it was a little rough for a while trying to figure out where do we go? What should we pick next for Genie Plus and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. we ended up not getting on Haunted Mansion, which everyone was a little disappointed on. The line was just 90 minutes. There were no Genie Pluses left. It would go down. It would come back. But we got on Space. We got on Big Thunder in probably 40 minutes, but continuous walking through Big Thunder, which was great. You always feel like the line is shorter when you just keep walking and you never stop.
Do you think it could be because Big Thunder now is kind of on an oasis by itself? You have to get past the closed ride, and it's kind of like that one narrow bridge to get over there. Do you think people are just blowing off that ride that early?
No, we hit it at this perfect time. It was right when the parade was going on. So the parade finished coming out, and then you have that walkway available to you from basically Pirates to where Splash would be. And so we just darted across there and just weaseled our way up. And the line was pretty low at that point. People were consumed by the parade, and we went right through. And as soon as we got off, the line was for Lightning Lane and the standby was out past Splash Mountain.
Wow. Yeah. No, I believe that.
And it never went down after that. Like, it just, the line stayed at like 90 minutes or whatever the rest of the day.
Sure. And that became one of the rides that didn't have that bad of a line. Eventually, well, not anymore.
Right.
A real quick note about rope drop for anybody listening and haven't done it. If you want to do rope drop and you don't mind doing the Adventureland rides right away, because now at this point, all rides are crowded for most of the day. Adventureland is totally empty for probably about the first hour of the park opening. Like, literally, you're going to walk onto every ride. You're going to have no issues with that whatsoever. And then you probably could still get on Big Thunder with that same, nobody's made it to that part of the park yet because everybody's on Seven Dwarfs and everybody's on Space Mountain. And if none of those rides close that morning, then they're definitely going to be on them, and it'll take them a while to get there. We've done that a couple of times. Very fun. So Magic Kingdom definitely was a crowded day. Once you got in your groove, I mean, how long did you stay? I guess would be the next thing, because that is kind of far from where everybody is normally hotel wise. And you do have a couple of kids.
Yeah, we had an early lunch. I think we ate like 11 o'clock, and we had a split up. We were just too big of a group to try to get into one restaurant. So half of us went to Liberty Tree and the other half went to Skipper Canteen. And I've been to the Golden Horseshoe, which is the same, shares the kitchen with Liberty Tree. So I've had all the dishes. It's just, it was a different environment to eat in. We really liked Liberty Tree. It was relaxing. It was nice and cool, big open tables. The food was quick. We liked the food. It had a little bit of everything for everyone. I know it's just like, you know, kind of boring, mashed potatoes, green beans, mac and cheese, salad.
No, it's awesome. And then how about, what was the other restaurant?
Skipper Canteen. Go ahead.
So you went to Liberty Tree, and but a group of your party went and had good food.
So Jason doesn't care for Skipper Canteen. It's a little too adventurous for him. Gotcha. He knew he liked Golden Horseshoe from the last meetup when him and I were there and we tried it. And I was like, well, we can get in there. You know, he's like, I like it. That's where I want to go. I was like, cool. Great. So we had a little we kind of split families. It was my immediate family at Liberty Tree. And then my parents and my siblings, they all went to Skipper Canteen. Some of them had been there before and some hadn't. And they really enjoyed it. They had a nice meal. Oh, many times. Yeah. Okay. I love Skipper Canteen.
I thought so. Yeah.
That's Skipper Canteen, normal recommended place I go.
The only complaint I would have about it is if you're going to go and make reservations for it, make sure you check out the menu beforehand. It is kind of a limited entree menu. I think there's like maybe 6-7 things on it. So it is very limited, and like 6 or 7 of the, 3 of those things might be fish on top of that. So it's still, like I said, very limited. But yeah, it's really awesome if you do like what's offered.
And I would tell you that I could go to Skipper Canteen and like with a group of, you know, 4 people and order the 4 or 5 different appetizers and just split those, because they're all amazing. And they're, you know, and you know, Melissa had mentioned that the menu is a little adventurous, and it is. There is some stuff on there, but I mean, they do have Taste Like Chicken because it is, which is not very adventurous. And I've also been with people who aren't that adventurous, and you always can ask for like whatever it is for the sauce to be on the side, because sometimes it's the sauce that's what's adventurous and has the seasoning and the maybe some spice. But I've been with quite a few people that put this order the sauce on the side, and even like the pork. My favorite thing there is the pork. It's a char siu pork, which is just like barbecue pork. Mm-hmm. But you could also get that with sauce on the side.
Yeah. And I know that they are also, the kids menu has a couple of the, I don't know, more adventurous things. And then they have some traditional kids stuff on there. Sure. And they will make any of the kids items into an adult portion as well.
That's really
so
good
if
to know.
You want chicken tenders, they can do an adult,
chicken tender adult,
you know,
that's awesome.
Portion of a chicken tender.
I had some friends come down from the Northeast once and took them down to a little Cajun restaurant in Lafitte to get some real like Southern Louisiana food. And one of them ordered chicken tenders, and I just it blew my mind.
It's what they like.
Whatever you want to eat. But so yeah, we had an early lunch, and then we did a couple more rides. Three of our group members went back. One was tired. Two had another dinner event for this convention that they needed to go back and get ready for. And so it was us. I call us kids. So it was me, my two siblings, my son, and her fiance. We all stayed and we were ready to go. So we kept going. We got to probably 5:30 and we hit a wall is the best way to describe it. We were a little tired, but we were also just running out of rides that we could do that weren't broken down. Sure. The mover was down. We got to the point where we just went in and did Carousel of Progress, which you all know I love Carousel of Progress. It's a must do for me. But I was a little surprised they all wanted to do it. The 16-year-old, the 4-year-old, and the 320 something.
Well, it was a working ride.
Right. It was a working ride. And they were like, yeah, I actually kind of like it. So we were just really running out of stuff. And I'm like, I just don't know if I can make it any longer if I have to just try to find something for y'all to do. You know, if I can get you on rides, I'm ready to go and we're happy and stuff. But we kind of just, no one wanted to wait an hour to 90 minutes for anything. Stuff was not working. So sure. We ate at Columbia Harbor House. Four of us did. That's one of my favorite quick service options. I like the lobster roll. And then four of us left. I had to get them back, teach them how to get, back the back way. And then the last two held out until probably 11 because they had 8 or 9 o'clock dinner reservations at Be Our Guest to celebrate their engagement. So they got to experience that for the first time. And they sat in the main ballroom.
One of Kim's favorite quick service meals is at Columbia Harbor House. Was. Mm-hmm. I hope they still have it. It's called the Lighthouse Sandwich, which is basically a sandwich with like hummus and lettuce and tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. It's delicious.
Yeah. The one thing I'm sad that they don't have are the cobblers. So you used to be able to get a meal. It would be the lobster roll, fries, a drink, and then your cobbler, whatever it was in season. So it'd be blueberry, then raspberry, then cranberry, then peach. Monthly it changed, and they didn't have it. I was really sad.
I also will say about Columbia Harbor House, if you go upstairs and sit in that little nook that overlooks the Haunted Mansion, it's pretty darn cool.
True. And I love the mobile order. We did that. We were sitting in a kind of nice, cool spot and we ordered. And then as soon as I got there, I said I was there. We had a table and it was nice and comfortable. I don't know. I just like Columbia Harbor House.
Again, one of the things that has worked out so well has been that mobile ordering. In the beginning, it kind of was a little bit rocky, but now that they've kind of brought it everywhere and it's like common, even just going back to the resorts, being able to order on the bus, getting something ready for you when you get back to the resort, just picking it up is phenomenal.
Interestingly enough, in January, I was at Universal, the other Orlando park, and we went into a place to grab a bite to eat. I will say that their mobile order app is not nearly as intuitive as Disney's. And they made us mobile order.
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
Like going inside was not an option. I did see somebody finally get to a register because they just refused Like, no, I'm not downloading the app. I just want to go inside and get something to eat. Can you do that? And he had to call a manager to make that happen. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
This is
bad. They can't take that away 100%. What if you just don't have a phone?
Yeah.
Or let's just start with that. Or
your Adi wedding, and you have a flip phone.
Right, right.
I made fun of Adi so much about his flip phone, he went and bought a smartphone.
Wow, that's a shame. He probably doesn't use any.
He loves it now. He's on Instagram and everything. No, he loves it.
Good. So for the Magic Kingdom day, anything majorly stand out for you guys? Like work out really well, definitely want to do again?
We went on the train. It was up and running again.
That's right.
Yeah. Tron, the construction had been finished. And that was just so nice to get on the train in the afternoon. It was after we had eaten lunch. So, you know, you're kind of in the like sleepy nap mode.
Yeah,
and we just loaded everybody on the train, took up two rows and just cruised around. And we actually thought about going on for another lap.
you did one continuous lap. So you didn't really use it for transportation. You used it just as a ride.
For a ride.
Yeah. That's just great.
As a ride. Is there any new exhibits on the train ride? Like I know. Well, actually, let's start with you. Go through Splash Mountain now. So, how's that look different? Could you tell? He's like covered it up.
There's just some boards like visibility walls kind of covered up, so that it kind of directs you to go up the stairs or back to the bathrooms.
Gotcha.
Are those? Well, I think he was talking about like when you pass through and you can see inside of Splash Mountain.
You can't.
Yeah, it's just screened off.
Well, right. Yeah, I imagine. No, I was talking the outside, but
do they still have them Indians hanging out west?
I think so.
Out on the backside by the Liberty Bell.
Yeah, back by pass.
You were sleeping.
Or at least like
you were just snoozing on that part of the train. You get a minute. You deserve it too.
It was really fun to go through and hear, because they did an overlay as you go through the Tron. So, you know, he's talking and he's giving you the like spiel or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's like a glitch in the computer. It's obvious. And then it like cuts in and it talks about Tron or whatever is coming. And I don't know, some thing is happening. And then it just kind of cuts back out and he's just talking like he was the whole time. So awesome. That was kind of a neat change.
Yeah. Listen,
have you seen Tron?
No.
Neither of them?
Neither of them.
All right. So that's your homework before we go in November.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Before you go ride Tron, you got to go. Our friend, co-host Morgan is down there right now. They just finished their Tron media event and she missed it, which upsets me. But our friend John Yaglinski from over at Intercot was at the same media event and he got to get a picture with Bruce Boxleitner. So you got a picture.
Oh, no way. I did see Tron. Bruce down there.
Picture with Tron. He got a selfie with Tron at the media event. I'm like, Morgan, did you see Tron's there? She probably wouldn't know who he is if he walked right by her. But John Yaglinski was like so excited about it. I would have been freaking out.
I'm sure. And we're going to talk about this when we get Morgan on next week. One of the things in the toy store, they have the Space Mountain store has been repurposed. It's a lot of Tron stuff in there now. One of the things is they had one of those identity discs, the things they wear on their back. And when you push the one button, it turns red and it was Tron in the second movie. I serve the users or something like that. And it was Bruce Boxleitner. You totally heard the voice. It was him. Yeah, it was fun.
Our friend Jerry Reese, who we had on an interview, if anybody wants to go back and listen to that, who's done a lot of directing of pre-shows and stuff like that at Walt Disney World and Disneyland, but also directed The Brave Little Toaster, but also did a lot of work in the movie Tron, which in the day, because in the 80s when Tron came out, it was like one of the first really CGI projects.
Awesome.
And it was incredible thing of its time. You go back and look at it now, you're like, wow,
right?
It's terrible.
It's still I still think it's great.
The
director
great.
From the original Tron was down there this past week and they had an interview from him to talk, and he was just loving it. He came up with the original story. I think he wrote Tron too. So that sounded good. He was giving it the big thumbs up, so bonus.
It's a great movie. I do recommend you and Jason watch it before you go down there and ride it.
Both of them are pretty good, and I heard there's number three is back and forth coming around, so let's hope the ride makes it happen.
I thought they had announced that
Jared Leto was going to be in it. Yeah, right. We'll see. Okay.
Another way that we got to see the Tron a little bit closer in person was getting on the speedway. So we drove through. We had the 16-year-old who can't drive yet, and the 4-year-old who can't drive yet. So they wanted to drive.
And they both did just as well, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, it was all over the place, but it was a really good memory. I can see why parents love that ride. I always have hated it. I'm like, it's loud, it's stinky. Just make it electric already. But it's a good memory. But anyway, as you're going through, you get pretty close to Tron, and it was a cool picture opportunity.
Was that at night?
No, we were there in the afternoon, but it would be really neat at night for sure.
We rode the ticket and transportation center one night when we were there in January, and Tron hadn't even opened yet, but they were testing it, and none of the outside so none of the outside, like the canopy or nothing, wasn't lit, but they were testing it, and they had the ride vehicle lights on as it was zooming through the tracks, and it was cool to see.
Yeah, no.
When you were on the People Mover, did they already have the overlay for talking about Tron in the script?
I don't think so.
Okay, they have that now too.
Yeah. Nice.
That's all built in.
That's cool.
Very, very cool. That's going to make Tomorrowland look so cool at night. I mean, it's just going to be phenomenal. With that whole big purple blue lights coming from the end of it.
So I'm excited.
Okay, so now we have one more full day at the parks. And I have my bet where you guys went, since we have two parks yet to go to and you don't have a hopper. But where'd you go? What was the big decision?
Now
you have to guess. You set that up. Yeah. And now you've got to guess. Well, where do you think they went?
Well, I got to think, if you have that type of mix of people, it's going to be Hollywood Studios. There you go.
And we didn't even all go together. I knew I was going to need a break. the rides they wanted to go on at Animal Kingdom were not 4-year-old friendly, right? You can't do Yeti quite yet. You can't do Avatar. So it just really wasn't worth it for kind of, they wanted to get done by maybe noon, 1 o'clock and get out. So they could have a resort afternoon, and then we had a nice dinner. And so I set them all up, got them Genie Plus in the morning. Individual Lightning Lane for Pandora. They did not do Genie Plus. They were going to rope drop. The plan that they had was to get there right away, go back to Safari and get on Safari and get that out of the way. All the animals would be bright and early and bushy tailed. And then they would go over and do Yeti. If Yeti was long line, they would do single rider. They ended up doing, I think, a couple of times because they were able to get through.
Yeah.
And then they went and did their individual Lightning Lane for Pandora at their callback time. They did the river. I think they walked a trailer too because they wanted to see a Komodo dragon or something. And then they were out of there. So they had kind of a game plan that I gave them. They followed it. They were able to accomplish it. And
awesome.
I feel like if you can get back to Expedition Everest before 10 o'clock, 10:30, you can probably ride it a couple times back to back just about any morning.
Sure.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, nobody, it's kind of like the elephants when they let them out onto the savannah, it takes them a little while to get to where people can see them. The same thing when they open the parks. It takes people a little while to work their way back to the back of the park. Because I mean, really, Expedition Everest is the only thing, as cool as it is, it's the only thing really back there at that time. Because the first Nemo show doesn't happen till way after that.
Right. Nobody's drawing a dinosaur anymore.
Yeah. So it's really back there by itself. So you really got to just be on a plan to go out there just to do it.
Yeah. And that's what I kind of strategized for them was most people are going to enter the park and go to the left to either get to Safari or get to Pandora. And if I get you the individual Lightning Lane for Pandora, you don't have to worry about doing that. You can just focus on the Safari, then go over and do Yeti when nobody's probably over there yet. Because it's such a hike over there. They enjoyed a trail and then got their return time for Pandora.
Do you remember how much the Lightning Lanes were?
Yeah, all weekend everything was between 18 and 22.
Oh, okay.
Same with, that was Genie too.
Yeah.
So it was expensive days because we added it on. The first day we added two. The second day we added just Genie and the second third day they added the individual lightning lane.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
And then when did you get to Animal Kingdom?
I did not go to Animal Kingdom. My group of four of us, we stayed back. The 16-year-old was the most exhausted of everybody in the group. It was way more walking.
16 years was so dramatic, huh?
Yeah. It was hotter than they used to. It was way more walking than we were used to.
Yeah, up really so early.
Was yes, the 16-year-old's parents there?
No, she's our exchange student.
Oh, no, see, you can't yell at the exchange student, because it would have been my kids that would have been like, suck it up. I bought this vacation.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, you can't yell at the exchange student. I've been like, I've been yelling at my kids. Like, I don't want to hear it.
No, the best conversation was, so she's from Germany. And so I said, we're going to Florida. Really, no context of from here to Florida, how far away that is. And I don't blame her. I mean,
right.
No
context.
So I said, we're going, you know, really said, here's that on a map. Oh, okay. Well, you know, I've been to like Italy or, you know what? I'm like, no. We're going to the Sahara Desert. That's the latitude. So I pulled it up on a map and show here's the latitude of Orlando, Florida and where it is in Africa. And just like, oh, I didn't realize we're that far south. I'm like, yes, the surface of the sun in August.
<You're> like, well, it was February though.
Right. What no. We had really nice weather, but it was warmer than she was used to for sure.
Sure.
Oh, but I mean, could you imagine if you were there in July with her?
Oh, no, I think she would have died.
Yeah.
Because we know, right. We know, especially having been residents of Florida, but then visiting often and living here in the States where our temperatures here go from -32 to 110 in a year. Sure. So we're used to everything where we live currently. And we know if you're standing, you find shade. If you're drinking a bottle of water every hour, you put sunscreen on. We don't bring a sweatshirt, you know, so like we are explaining some of this stuff, but you've got like age and experience kind of on top of it. And so some of that was just, you know, kind of what we're working through. And I think a lot of visitors to Florida don't know that you see them wearing jeans and you see them.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
So like I still see the layers. I still go to Magic Kingdom and see women in heels. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yes.
Like, right. Did but you not think this through? Did you not know you were going to be walking 18,000 steps?
Right.
Or flip flops. That to me is the other amazing one.
You know,
but it was so nice on Saturday to have a resort day. Jimmy, I think you and I talked about enjoying a resort, and usually we're just in the parks, right? Or passes, and we've got things that we want to do and check off our list. But this trip, we were really able to just kind of stop and say, what does the resort have to offer? So from Swan and Dolphin, you can walk across the street and go to Fantasia Gardens and do
pub.
Yeah. They've got the beach area with sand. You can't go into the lake, not that you want to, but they have all the sand areas with hammocks. They've got a playground. They had beautiful pools, multiple pools. We had folks in our group using the workout rooms, the running trails.
Just one of the first questions me and Ed asked before we go to a resort is about the workout room and the running trails.
You do. I was thinking that we should have an episode all about the best running trails and workouts, and you two are going
to
be
the running trail is to the Skyliner and from the Skyliner to wherever I'm getting to. That's my running trail.
Yep. Let me tell you, if I can make two laps around World Showcase, it's a good day.
That's crazy. On top of that, see, I understand that most vacations you're going, you're being relaxed. Walt Disney World, you need your downtimes more than you need your workout rooms.
Yeah, for sure.
But it was nice to Saturday to just kind of enjoy all those things, lay by the pool, and then we had our nice dinner at Bluzo.
Warm enough to go in the pools?
Not for me, no.
Yeah,
but the kids
not on Saturday.
I mean, for kids, it's never days. For kids. It doesn't matter. Like they'll go in the pool regardless,
and they should be heated anyway.
Well, right. Getting out the pool is.
Yeah, I was like ankle deep in the little kiddie area because the kids don't care. But we enjoyed the hot tubs every night. That was
great.
That was perfect. Yeah.
Nice, very cool. Okay, so this quick whirlwind vacation sounded like it was awesome. Can you think of one major thing that stood out from the entire trip?
like any Disney vacation, it's just the time that you spend with family and the memories, you know, that it, having that time, the funny little things that happen, or I don't know, incidents or whatever, just what makes it fun and why we keep going back.
Oh, sure. Yeah. He was going to say something.
Yes, he's frozen with his really angry face.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like just your, even your story about stepping onto the bridge and having all the lights go on earlier in the Imperial March, just something like that stands out. And that'll be a story you guys will talk about for a while.
I don't remember if it was during the show or when we were talking before the show, when you were talking about all the age groups of people who were there and just, you know, just the group in general. And it just made me think, you know, that's, I always, and, you know, as Disney fans, we always get these questions. Well, are you going to Disney again? And I, you know, my defense is, look, every trip I do is something different. And that's why, it's because we're always going with somebody else or meeting somebody else there or doing this or doing that. It's never the same exact thing. So this trip was for you was completely different than any trip you had done before.
100%. Yeah, we had, you know, the little kid with the experience with their grandparents and their aunts and uncles, you know, and like the the things that they got to do. And then we had the 16-year-old exchange student, have never been to Disney, was in love with the princesses, did all the character meets, was nervous to meet Pooh, you know. so it was just so much fun to see everyone's experiences and what they, you know, enjoyed and found fun and things like that. So, yeah. That's what
it's all about.
Very cool. Very cool. Okay, guys. So what'd you think about Melissa's trip? Did you have a question for her that we can get her to answer on our next show? Definitely send us an email. Let us know. Jimmy, tell everybody how to get in touch with the show.
You can email us at questions at thedisneynerdspodcast.com and email us individually at ed@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, jimmy@thedisneynerdspodcast.com, etc. You can send us a message on Facebook to the page, The Disney Nerds Podcast. Join our group, Disney Nerds, Instagram at The Disney Nerds Podcast, and Twitter at The Disney Nerds. Make sure to check out the website, www.thedisneynerdspodcast.com, and watch the live stream every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Walt Disney World time.
Okay, guys. So that's it for show number 477 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your trip with us. It was so much fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Anytime as a co-host, we seem to have that happen all the time. For Jimmy, for Melissa, this is Ed, and we're the Disney Nerds, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Quaharini.
TTFM. Ta-ta for now.
To join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay a token fee. Rest in peace, the haunting's free. So hurry back.